Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott drink another Cabernet-dominated red blend from Napa Valley, but this time from an esteemed, legendary producer, Stag's Leap Wine Cellars, and a wine made by them that no one's ever heard of, their Hands of Time Napa Valley Red Blend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
It's good to be here on a Sunday night.
It is a Sunday night, the only time of night. And tonight, well, it's not the only time of night, but that sounds like a good song lyric, a good song title, Only Time of Night.
Or it sounds like you were trying to pull something out. It's the right time of the night, or
no.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
It's the only time of night. That's what I tell my victims. It's the only, they don't know what that means. They're kind of befuddled. That's when I get them. And they're like, the only time of night. And right, oh, that's it, yes.
That's it.
That's all it takes. You know, Scott, when you butcher a cow, you know this, you hit them in the head with a baseball bat, which stuns them, then you slit their throat.
That's not what they do when they butcher a cow.
Well, they do, but the Hands of Time, or the only time, whatever I said, that is the hitting them in the head with a baseball bat, literally.
That's you know? The Hands of Time.
Yes, it just, the only time of night. Yeah, it just screws with them, yeah.
I don't think that's what the winemaker was thinking.
That's why
I gave it this moniker.
It didn't work, so that's why I switched back to a baseball bat.
Anyway, on tonight's show, we have a wine from a winery that denies its existence. So we've had wines like this before, haven't we?
Yeah, well,
there's no internet presence except for we know it exists. On the winery's website, no trace of this wine anywhere. On the back of the wine.
Total Wine, Vivino,
they
Wine
all
Express,
say it.
Wine Searcher, Wine.com, but they deny it.
We will think of the wine that we've had like this before, and it was a similar type of wine. The wine tonight is the Hands of Time Red Wine Blend from Napa Valley. It is made by Stag's Leap Wine Cellars.
Not Stag's Leap Winery.
Stag's Leap Wine Cellars, the maker of SLV, Faye, Cask 23. It was the 123. I can't remember.
Yeah.
The Artemis Cabernet. That's the winery that we're talking about here. The gray, the off white and maroon.
It's the
label.
Buck with a big rack on the label.
Oh, this though, if you look at the back of the label, it even says, "Cellared and bottled by Hands of Time, St. Helena, California." So it's kind of spun off. But it still is owned, operated, and basically...
Allegedly.
Yes. We don't know where they get their grapes. We don't know if this is part Artemis, if this is part Fay, if this is part, you know, Schitt's McGee Winery. We don't know. Because they don't tell us. They won't give us that information, which is something that I hate. Tell us about your wine. What are you hiding? I will point out, Scott, this is the cork to the wine. It is a completely plain cork. There is no insignia of any kind. I showed the Triple B this earlier, and she's not on tonight because she's planning the Russian Revolution. And she goes, "That's from a cheap-ass wine." I went, "No, it's actually not." And she goes, no, that's from the cheapest-ass wine I've ever seen. Nope.
Wait. It's
what?
Caria. K-R-A-R-I-A.
Yeah.
Did we do that?
The Chardonnay. We've done the Chardonnay.
Yeah, we did the Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we've done their Sauvignon Blanc. I mean, I've not had Artemis in recent time, but I had it before it was called Artemis years ago. But you've had Artemis.
I love Artemis.
But Artemis is fine.
Got a couple bottles in the cellar aging as we
But sometimes speak. It's almost $99, and that's just fucked up.
Not usually.
Well, if it's priced full price. Nobody ever buys it at $99, but it's what, $79,
$89? Yeah, $75,
$79. It's almost damn near $80. That's a lot. That's really a lot.
It is.
When you can get probably better wines for a little bit less money.
Oh my, now you're going to besmirch the
I'm not besmirching them, but there's wineries called named Ramey that is better. You know, I mean, you know, it's better than Freemark Abbey, I think, currently. But, you know, there's stuff from Alexander Valley that is more exciting. There's better wines at less money. Not a lot, but some. For instance, you can also buy this at a grocery store. Well, not this. You can't buy Hands of Time, but you can buy Artemis at a grocery store.
Yes, they make a good amount of it.
Yes, and that's
popular. It's good.
Yeah.
I would honestly say I prefer Artemis over Camus. And, you know, I think Artemis is similarly...
Okay, that's fair.
...really drinkable straight when it reaches the market for its vintage. However, I think it's probably a little more ageable than the Camus.
Well, current vintages of Fay, and Fay goes for about 160, 170, all right? And it's from Stag's Leap. It got 100 from Wine Enthusiast. Now, if you go online to... Now, there's different Fays, but this is talking about the 19 Fay. Not there's other smaller production versions of Fay, but the normal Fay. 100 points from the Wine Enthusiast for the 19. Wine.com does not mention that review. Did you know that, Scott?
That's a little weird.
Then, for the 19 SLV, which is the Stag's Leap District, and it goes for about almost 200. They gave it 99 of their points. And guess what? Not mentioned on wine.com.
I wonder if it was the Fay Hillside. I wonder if it was Hillside.
Well, it doesn't mention that on Wine Enthusiast. It just says Fay.
What's going on? Something's going on here.
Yeah, it's weird. So why is that? I don't know. It's a mystery.
Maybe wine.com's pissed off.
At Wine Enthusiast?
That Hands of Time got kicked out of the family. Hands of Time must have fooled around with Faye's wife.
Well, SLV
must have done some bad thing to get kicked out of the family.
On wine.com right now, SLV is $207 a bottle. Faye is $170 a bottle, and that's actually a very good value. Artemis is $87. Hands of Time is 31, and their Chardonnay is 37. The cask, is it 23? I think it goes for somewhere in the 300s when it's available. So, this wine is exciting because it follows along with the Bordeaux-style blends. This is more of a California cab. 85% Cabernet, 15% Merlot, but they call it a red wine. Why? I do not know, because that qualifies the Cabernet in California. You know, hell, it qualifies as Cabernet anywhere.
Yeah, we were looking at what, a 2008 that was like almost 50-50. It was like 53-45.
But as we can guess, this has always just been called a red wine, so that's why it's still called a red wine. It comes in at $32, and for a Stag's Leap winery, or Stag's Leap Wines, what is it? Stag's Leap Wine Cellars. Stag's Leap Wine Cellars product, that is wildly cheap for a red wine.
Why we wanted to do this on the show. We're kind of following up our series of Bordeaux-style California wines.
And you know, Scott, that Trefethen just brought out a cheaper Napa Valley red blend? Do you know that?
Interesting. I did not know that.
Well, I did, and it's on the way.
Is it now?
For the wine vault.
Single bottle?
One bottle. Oh, yeah. Come on. It's Trefethen. I bought Trefethen. I had to bathe myself.
No, I'm asking a one-bottle shipping.
No. No, it's only $20. I added a couple other things too. Got it to 52. Fuck you. You're not getting me at 60. Fuck you up your butt. Wine.com.
Somebody got put in timeout.
Fuck them. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. The 2019 Hands of Time red wine from Napa Valley, which really is more Cabernet, and it's made by Stag's Leap Wine Cellars, even though they don't want anybody to know that. Take that. This wine has no reviews because they never submitted it for reviews, apparently. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 17 got a 92 from the Wine Enthusiast, but no one ever admits the Wine Enthusiast gives anybody any scores, so,
well,
you know,
well.
Whatever. This wine, though, it has some oak. What kind of oak? We don't fucking know because there's no fucking information out there.
We did.
Probably French.
So it was just the wine.com site that said it was 85-15.
Yeah.
You wonder if that's accurate.
It might not be accurate. I don't know. And anything that's out there, it just paired it off. They just pull that off. They don't really know. Let me look here on the wine. Let's see if I can find it in here. In here, Foss? Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't the Wine Enthusiast that gave it that review. It was the Decanter. Gave it 92 points. Well. The 17. And let's just see. With Cabernet Merlot, it doesn't say in the blend on that. It had 15% alcohol back in those days, and it currently has 14.5, which I think is a little bit better number for it.
That's still a decent number.
Yeah. Sweetness, dry. Only the Decanter can provide us with such information. But in case you wanted to know, and this was by Georgiana Hindle. She said, about the 17, mind you, a more affordable pick here from the world-renowned Napa Valley Winery. This has a delicious chocolate cherry nose followed by the on the palate by a rich and sumptuous texture giving cool menthol-laced blue and black fruit flavors, blueberries, plums, black currants, alongside floral touches of violets. It's deep and dark, brooding, but not an all-heavy way. Long length and mouth-coating tannins. This deserves a meat-heavy meal, steak, or roast beef. Now, one thing about Georgiana, you know what she also is into?
What's she into?
Mushrooms and mescaline. So, you know.
That sounds like a California cab,
it
sir.
Sounds like a really great one. It's your imagination. No, it's use your imagination. And she did. So.
So harsh.
Well, actually, in 17 wasn't a very good year for Napa Reds, so the 19's a better year, so this should be better than that, right?
Well.
I mean, theoretically.
We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. So in the glass, it looks proper.
In the big Grand Cru glasses tonight that we love so much.
Mm-hmm. No, it looks very dense.
The legs are a little...
A little quicker.
I'm going to call them shallow.
Shallow?
Well, you know, the
How
line.
How about the feet? I'm a foot man myself, Scott.
I didn't say shallots. Oh, they don't.
Shallots?
It's not like feet that smell like shallots.
Ew.
The legs in the glass are a little shallow.
It's disgusting. I don't even know. I mean, I'm turned on, mind you. I just took my pants off, so, you know.
Did you have them on in the first place?
Yes, I did. I'm proper like that. No underwear, though.
On the nose, cassis backed by a little blueberry, menthol. It's closed, though.
Very closed. And there's a little...
It's actually not a bad nose at all. No, it's just, it's whiff, faint, but...
My first whiff, I got a little sweetness that was concerning, and then it's not there.
No, it smells like a very... tight, robust Napa cab is what it smells like. It actually smells better than some Napa regular cab that I've smelled recently. They had a little more time to them, but this smells, well, this more suits my preferences.
It's a nice nose. It's as you said, a little closed.
A little closed.
What's there is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little floral thing in there, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a little violet, kind of violet tinged.
It's not the densest looking thing. It's dark enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the densest Napa cab we've seen.
But it's not Napa cab. It's a red wine.
Let's go in.
Yeah. That is the thickest, fullest-bodied wine I've ever swallowed in my entire life. I have no idea what to think right now.
It's just... dense.
Should we add like 6 drops of water to this?
But it, you know, sometimes when you get that surprising density, you get that wine concentrate thing is the cause of that. That's not what this is.
No, it doesn't have though as much length. It's surprising.
But what it does have is some nice chewy tannin.
Yeah, it does. It'll open up. The first sip is always the...
I think actually what this bottle needs is some time. I think maybe we should have set this back for a little while. That's my first impression.
7 to 10 years. This tastes like, I mean, it's dry and everything. It is literally a wine reduction. It has a reduction level consistency to it. Chalky tannin, very big. Back straps of, I mean, just thick cassis. I wouldn't go licorice, but cassis, black currant.
There's that.
There's tobacco undertones there, mm-hmm, that will suss itself out in several years.
I wonder if it would. It's kind of got a chalky thing. I wonder if, mm-hmm, that would express as like a minerality
eventually
once it aged out, right?
Eventually.
I don't think it's too short. I don't think it's the longest thing, but I don't think it's too short. I think the finish is
the
fine.
Finish will eventually. Will come into being. It's just, this is an extract at this moment that will need to relax, stretch out, and age and mellow. With that aging and mellowing, you will have a finish that evolves.
I tell you what it reminds me of. Oh man, I just got blown up with black currant and cassis.
Mm-hmm.
It just jumped right out of there.
It is thick. You know, this tastes like, remember the Killiconoon?
Yes.
This is a not sorted out version of that wine. I think that one probably, I mean, that one displays better, but the flavors of the black currant and the cassis are similar between this and that. It's just, this wine is so young. So young. That's shocking at $30.
I'll be honest. I like this one better than that one.
Well, you like this one better than that one a little bit because it's the potentiality is there. And that's interesting.
100%.
But it is always a gamble. It's not a sure bet. But...
I'd put my money on Stag's Leap, even if they're embarrassed to say that this is their product.
Oh, I would have a couple bottles of this, and I would hold it for 5 or 7 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I was going to say before I got blown up by the cassis, and it reminds me of Turley's Cab, the way it presents before you put some time on it. Yes, it does.
No.
That's what it reminds me of.
No, Turley's Cabs don't do that.
That's what it reminds me of.
Well, you might have had a few little, micro strokes there for a second. It doesn't taste any, it isn't anywhere near what Turley's Cab does. Turley's Cab is far more approachable earlier. Now,
not every year.
They're not. I mean,
not every year.
They can be.
Of late, they've been dense and it's not a drink now wine. It's what it reminds me of.
Well, the Monticello, I've had that when it was young, and yes. So there's some of the single vineyard stuff. Yeah, but this reminds me of, it doesn't remind me of, first of all, a $60 or $70 young Napa. It doesn't remind me of that because those are even bigger and more lush. But it's unusual. It almost reminds me of a tight young, sounds bad, Australian.
Really? You mean there's that, you know, Scott, I know you at the Luxor, yeah. There's the Thunder Down Under strip show with the men. You were telling me about that, and that was great when you went there by yourself. That was strange why you would go there. You said you told everybody that you went to Mandalay Bay to eat dinner by yourself, but you didn't. You went to Thunder Down Under, and it was like a young, tight Australian. That's what it was. You remember you saying that. That's interesting. Rob the Wine Guy did ask why you smelled of Stetson when you got back. It was so weird. Stetson, you had odd colored glitter all over your face. Sounds like a good night to me. I don't know. He thought it was a little weird, but I don't know. Whatever you did. But, you know, you said that guy named, what was his name? Tex? Which is strange because they're Australian, just to point that out. But, you know, what kind of Australian name is Tex? You never explained that.
It's not.
And he had a cowboy hat on. That was all. But, you know.
Charlie Palmer's Wine Angel.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's right. Yeah.
Rob, the wine guy's just jealous story. Because yeah. I went there before
no,
he did.
No, it's your cover story. Now, Scott, I'd like to point this out. The things that you described that you and Tex did, that's not legal, even in Las Vegas. I'm just pointing that out. Just so you know. We won't say them on the air, but I just wink and nod to you. I understand what you mean. You can't even do that at the Tamarack, if you get my drift, folks. It's horrible. I mean, you can't do the things I do at the Tamarack, but you really can't do what Scott and Tex did at the Tamarack. You just can't do it. There's not enough room for that, first of all. And those bathroom stalls are very small. But nevertheless, it's also illegal in West Virginia, which I think that's communism myself. I don't think that's fair, Scott.
You don't?
You're being persecuted. That's right.
Well, you're the one who likes the wine stalls at the Tamarack, so actually, you're the one being persecuted.
Where did you find a lemming, by the way? That was so unusual about your story with you and...
A lemon?
Lemming, the small woodland animal. You said you and... Well, that's okay. Let's move on.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the wine.
Charlie's Palmer's.
Yes, keep Ario. On. Keep the lie going, Scott.
Best meals ever.
Sure.
Double cut pork chop.
Yeah. It's specifics make it more real.
Four glasses of wine.
That's true.
Two that were comped. Yeah. It's a wonderful meal.
You said half of it was comped by Tex. I don't know.
Anyway.
I think that was the bartender's name.
I'm sure.
Anyway. It tastes like something that's young, an Australian wine that's young to me. Don't ask me why. Well, it might be because of the combination of the blackcurrant and the cassis. I sometimes get that with Aussie wines, even Cabernet. But. Still very thick. Becomes more drinkable as you become desensitized to the weight. And I bet there's people out there that drink this straight out of the bottle. And just, well, not straight out of the bottle. You mean straight from the bottle. Hell, maybe they drink it out of the bottle. I don't know. And they love it because of the thickness. You know, there are some wines out there that think that they're this, but they're so not this. Like Bonanza.
Oh, Bonanza. Geez. You know, Scott, Bonanza is thick like this. It's like a young Australian.
That's right. Kangaroo.
It's thick like this because of wine concentrate.
What?
But Bonanza was so bad.
That's pure. My family, we went out and found the best stuff we could find and put that shit in that damn jar or whatever that thing was and mixed it up. And then we served it to you in Bonanza. Then I was able to pay my spousal support. It's fantastic. I had to give my wife conundrum. I was like, here you go. I didn't even say what I said about her. But
was Bonanza the origin of the Southern Man?
No, that's Wagner. My name is Wagner. This is the way I talk.
That's your Southern Man.
Well, I sound like this because Wagner wants to sound like he's cool and is more of a Southern man, but he's not. He probably sounds like an orthodontist from Portland, Oregon. Wouldn't you rather hear a voice like this than I'm Wagner. Let me see your teeth. You'd rather hear a Southern man. So. And besides the fact, the Southern man has a lot more draw. So,
yeah.
This is the Southern man, Scott. She has a completely different semitone.
Yeah. course, it's different.
Don't talk about woodland animals, by the way. You talked about lemmings earlier, and I don't know what Scott
actually,
did with it.
But actually, you talked about lemmings earlier.
That's right. Yeah. Groundhogs are delicious. I think this wine would pair well with a groundhog. Maybe a possum. Nice thing about possums, Scott. No, actually, it's a raccoon, isn't it? You can have it for dinner and then wear it as a cap afterwards. It's very nice.
This is just a... It's savory fruit forward. The savory fruit has... It just changed as it opened up. That berry fruit, it's still there, but now it's being dominated.
It's helping.
Dominated.
This is a very, very heavy wine. In a good way. Good way. I like it. But it's very thick. Very heavy. It's full-bodied. Would you say it's French or American? It tastes more American to me, but...
The oak?
Yeah.
It's skillfully oaked.
It is. It's like it's made by a major winery that has chops, that has a legendary status. I wonder who that is.
I wonder
if it's not us.
If I had to guess, I would guess it's both, that it's French and American.
Well, you like to do the 50-50 blend.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
What it's not is this large amount of new American oak.
No, it's not charred. Thank God. That would really ruin this wine.
Mm-hmm. So what would you pair with this?
Thyme.
In a bottle. The first thing that Rob liked to do is stall with his pairing choices. He's trying to think, but it comes back to you.
God. I would say maybe a short rib. The steak, I mean, you could do steak, but I would, short ribs, I think, would be quite good with that. It'd be hedonistic. You could even use this with a short rib. That'd be kind of expensive, but you wouldn't have to reduce
really
it at all.
This would probably be really good to cook with.
Yeah.
Would.
You don't have to reduce it. Add some creme fraiche. You're ready to go.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Peppercorn finish on a steak.
That always is nice. Actually, that might even... The peppercorn sometimes rehydrate with wines and just pop once you get it in there. Well, like a filet. Yeah. I don't know about a filet. I would say a black peppercorn cream sauce over a nice, nice, nice strip.
Yes, I was going strip too. So last night after the soccer game, Alex fired up one of his venison steaks. The way it was described and packaged, it was called a round steak. I'm not familiar with that cut on a deer where it came from.
Same place.
But I'll tell you, it was really nice. He made sure that it came up to room temperature before he did it, and he just pan fried it, mm-hmm. but salt and pepper. And it was nice. So it went from about medium well to about medium rare. It wasn't... The thickness of the steak wasn't even, mm-hmm. so it cooked a little differently. It was fantastic. Whatever that deer was eating, it really wasn't that gamey. It was nice.
Did you marinate it?
No. Just brought it up to room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Salt and pepper, that's it.
Hmm.
It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well. That venison round steak would be wonderful with this.
Venison would be very nice. I remember I was at, what the hell was that called? It's in Florida. I haven't seen it around here, but it is a chain owned by some different ones, but it's like Four Seasons or I don't know what it was.
Hmm.
It was down in Orlando. And my God, it was good. And they had a venison chop.
Hmm.
And this was 2018, I think. And we did Love Block Pinot Noir. But, you know, this would really be good with that venison chop. Pork chop. Excellent bone-in pork chop with a nice fat cap that has a good reduction on it. That would be nice with this. I always want to say mushrooms, but in this case, I don't know that I would do that because of how dense and savory fruit driven it is, and doesn't have any minerality yet expressing itself exceptionally. I might find something that's a little more. Also, it is so full bodied, like on the 1 to 10 scale. This is damn near a 9.
I think this is a perfect pairing for short ribs. I really do.
It's actually starting to open up, folks. It isn't necessarily what I would suggest flavor-wise intensely complex. It's texturally complex. So there's different types of complexity. It does have flavors, mind you. I mean, we've gone through some of the fruit that really is the dominant factor. But from a textural standpoint, this wine is very, very interesting and complex. So think about that. Tannins aren't a flavor, but they add complexity in a certain sense. When we're talking about complexity, it isn't just the flavors. It's the whole mosaic of the wine. How is it different? Does it do anything during the wine? In this case, it is layer upon layer of different things. You have the tannin layer. You have full-blown creme fraiche cream running through it. You have a little bit of mocha that streaks through there. You have the cassis and the black currant up front driving it. You have a little bit of unrealized tobacco leaf that's sprinkled through there from partly the oak, but also the terroir. You do have a little bit of the limestone edge. Obviously, there were some, the soils around there had limestone elements to it because you can tell a little bit of that chalkiness is there. That's going to suss itself out over time, but still, you can sense it's there currently. That's quite a few things, all things that we like.
With that tobacco, it almost demonstrates...
One leaf, not many, but one.
Almost like a smokiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $30 bottle of wine. This is a go-getter. Get this while you can. If you're a person that's trying to put stuff away, build a little cellar, at this price point, why not? Why wouldn't you have this to sit back for 5 years?
4 or 5 of these. You should. If you like Stag's Leap wine cellars, you should be buying this because it's a baby. It's not even a baby.
It's just different.
Well, mouthfeel-wise, Scott, it's running right there with Artemis. You know what it kind of reminds me of also, kind of in the surprise sense, the power? The Edge by Ray Signorello. You know? It has a little bit of that to it. What the hell? Where was that from? It was in Knights Valley, but...
Edge Sonoma, isn't it?
It might be. Is it Alexander Valley?
Might be. But this is bigger.
Oh, this is a little bit bigger, yeah.
More power than the Edge does.
This is creamier than the Edge. This is lusher. It's a lusher wine without being jazzy. And that's another thing I like.
It is. I hate Alexander jazzy. Valley.
Yeah, it's there isn't an annoying aspect to this wine. Other than it's not a 1.5 liter. I mean, it's pleasing. It never really blows your head off impressively, but it's so pleasing throughout it. You'd want to go back from the sip to say, what did I just taste? What did I just have?
It was just surprising.
And sometimes that's a bad thing, but in this case, it's a good thing.
No, this was surprising in a good way for sure. It's just... maybe, Rob, what's a little exaggerating, that's the densest thing ever, but it's, in this price point, that's a hard thing to top.
This is a good wine.
In this price point, it is just, it's as so dense as anything we've had in this price point.
And it's so tannic.
Yeah. And that's, this has time to go. The tannin, the chewy tannin, combined with the overall, as Rob said, the mosaic. I don't know where the fuck he's coming with these terms tonight, but The texture of it's just fantastic. Yes. I love how, as it opens, it's showing us different things. To some degree, I wish that berry fruit was a little bigger part of the front palate than it is now. I can deal with that. We've had this now. We know that that berry fruit's going to be there when it ages and once you've set this down for 5 or 6.
You taste this wine in the first, after the first sip. I mean, now as it's opening up even more, you go,
ooh. Yeah, it just,
it's a Keith Sweat kind of wine is what it is.
Is it now?
Yeah, he turns Keith Sweat on drinking this wine, man. You're like, yeah. Yeah.
Is Keith still with us? I think he might have passed.
I don't know.
I think he passed.
He's sweaty. That's all I know. I want to please you. I want something new.
No, he's still with us.
I want to show you. Yeah, he's probably singing at a casino right now. I need you. I want your body to the very last drop. I want you to holler when you want me to stop.
That's what I said, too. But I didn't say when you want me to. Well, yeah, they hollered, but whatever. And then they said, the cops busted in. They said, where's your victim? I said, nobody.
Jesus.
And don't look in the fucking whoop chipper, dickheads.
So, yeah.
Or the pond behind the cabin. So there's always a cabin involved, isn't there?
Well, Wilford, you would know.
That's true.
I thought it was mostly Red Roof Inns that you're involved with and not cabins.
That's where I'm the victim. I turn the tables at the cabin. You know what I learned, though, Scott? Don't rent the cabin in your name.
That's probably a good idea for you.
I found that out, you know?
How did you get out of jail this time?
Well, the funny thing is...
The funny thing?
Yeah.
As in ha-ha or ironic?
Yeah. I come here and I do the show. Then I run back in hiding. They haven't caught me yet. Yes.
I don't think they're looking in the right place, Rob.
No one said said anybody liked the people that I, you know, yeah, I'm just saying, you know. And I also fantasize a lot, so maybe
yes,
it wasn't
do.
Real.
Yes, you do.
I've never been to a cabin. I'm so sad.
Oh, Lord.
Never found someone to kill.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have an unusual game. Given the fact that this wine is quite... We said that it really does go well with Keith Sweat music. You know, and Scott has found out a lot about Keith Sweat. He's a 90s R&B artist, in case you didn't know. A lot about Keith Sweat. He's a disc jockey.
Yeah.
That's not an appropriate term anymore.
Well, it's unusual. You know, it's people into podcasting and...
Yes.
DJs have... A different kind of nomenclature than a person that's on the radio now.
Isn't he on the radio?
DJ would be more like the person spinning records at a sorority, the DJ.
He presses a button while wearing sweatpants.
Well.
Yeah. Yes. And so he had a confab. They had a super group of Keith Sweat, Johnny Gill, and then Carl LaVert. Carl LaVert, folks, if you know... We have the Wine Vault playlist of Spotify, you know. It's not out there. And it has, like, Johnny Gill. It has a little bit of Keith Sweat, like Nobody, their song. It also has a lot of R. Kelly, because Becky likes R. Kelly. And it also has one song by Carl LaVert, Casanova. And Scott said, why the hell are we playing fucking Casanova by Carl LaVert? And Carol Levert's the guy that he has like a pencil-thin mustache kind of thing. I don't know why Johnny and Keith thought that they would bring Carl along with them, but, you know, he must have been the friend that, you know, they're like, well, their mother said, you have to take Carl wherever you go. Yeah. Don't exclude Carl. And they're like, okay. Carl, do you want to go and be on our super group?
Yeah, that's it.
It's not going to be any fun. Yeah, I'm going to be in your super group. Casanova. Yeah, so, yeah. So, Scott.
Wasn't even his mom. It was his grandmother.
Probably.
It was his grandmother.
Yeah. You know, gilded him in there.
You know, I got a church with his mama. Yeah. No, it's, you know, just trying to be gentle.
Yeah. So, what's your game, Scott?
Pairing wines with Keith Sweat song.
Well, no one Keith Sweat song, but okay, well, that's good. Okay.
Nobody.
Should I do it in a different voice?
Sure.
Pick the voice. Oh, we'll do Wheel of Voices.
Wheel of Voices.
You pick a voice each time.
And for the first pairing with Keith Sweat's Nobody, it's the Southern Man.
Southern Man. Strangely enough, you brought me on here, and I'm your least favorite voice, and yet you picked me first. But still, Nobody by Keith Sweat. Yeah, and he said, I want your body to the very last drop. That's a little strange there, Keith. Well, we said the Hands of Time is a nice pairing with Keith Sweat, and I would say Hands of Time, Napa Valley, Red Wine is the best pairing with Nobody.
Okay.
I would say that.
Tick, 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 Don, the Penophile.
It's the Penophile. What you got?
And the song is by Keith Sweat.
Uh-huh.
Make You Sweat.
Make you know, my son, who has a melted Scooby-Doo face, I left him in the car. And he melted like ice cream. I'm like, oh my God, he made him sweat. So that song, I would pair that with, I would pair that with Butter Chardonnay. Butter Chardonnay. Did you hear that score?
Butter Chardonnay.
Butter Chardonnay, yes.
Penophile, I don't think works. I think we expected a Pinot Noir from
what
you.
What you want to, oh, the Penophile. I would put Upper Tago Pinot Noir from Catago Valley.
Very nice.
Yeah, very make nice. You sweat.
And we'll spin the wheel again. Tick, 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 tick.
Yes.
Becky's Russian Handler? What? And the song for Becky's Russian Handler is Get Up On It.
This is Vladimir Putin. The buck stops with me. Get down on it like a horse. Get on the horse.
Get up on it.
Get up on the horse. Get up on horse. You like when I took shirt off and got on the horse like a very, very man?
Probably Keith Sweat like that.
Yeah, he would, yes. I don't believe in American music. It is bourgeois. I don't know what that means because it's French. Get up on it. I would normally pair vodka, but I will not. Although, I would pair the Moldovan Cabernet Grizzly with Get Up On It. Yes. Grizzly Cabernet.
We expected you to pick some type of vodka.
Get up on that, Scott.
Oh, Lord. And for the last spin of the wheel, here we go. Tick, 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 tick. Well, no celebrity persona would be complete on the Wine Vault without Wilfred Wrong making an appearance.
What if I don't want to be on? Go ahead.
No.
I'm, by the way, James Suckling. I'm mildly offended.
You didn't make the list.
And Tim is also offended.
No.
All he does is laugh like a jackass.
You didn't make the list. That's Wilfred.
Yes, it's my turn to shine. Go ahead.
And the song is I Want Her.
I Want Her. Well, I've said that before. I want her.
How'd that turn out?
You know, if you're in a shopping mall and you're just standing there walking along, and then you point at someone and say, I want her. And they're like 12. People get, they give you looks.
God.
What? I don't know. But they give you looks. And I didn't mean anything by it, Scott.
Was that the time the security guard dumped you in the trash can?
That's happened more than once. Okay. I don't know. So, I want her. Is that right?
Oh, Lord.
That's what it is. That's the song.
It's bad enough you're a depraved sex maniac.
My guess is that his song is no different than what I just said. But that's okay. Anyway, I want her probably would be a rosé of kind, some kind. Say yes, rosé, I think is one.
Oh, Lord.
We have that in the wine vault. Scott brought that. No, rosé. I would say rosé would be that. Is that a correct answer?
It must be.
It must be. That's great. Yeah.
Keith Sweat pairing.
Yes.
Here on the wine vault.
It's fantastic.
It's not.
Well, I know. It's horrible. Not. Thought you'd do a better job hosting that, but you
didn't.
Well,
it's Keith Sweat song.
Typical. That's true.
It's Keith Sweat song.
And I had to ruin it. That's okay. I don't care.
Oh, Lord. I know. Wilfred.
That was very good. Keith Sweat song. I don't know them. I want her.
I don't think anybody knows them.
I want her. That's not how that works, Keith. Just point that out.
Well,
I want her.
I don't think he's been in jail. I don't think he's been found to do anything untoward.
That's true. But it's probably co-wrote by R. Kelly or something. Like that. Hey, Kelly, what the hell is this all about, man? I wrote this song for you. Did you? What's it about? Her? What? And wanting her? Who is she? Just her.
It was his first single from his debut album.
Was it?
Yeah.
What year was it?
Let's see. 1987.
They're like, he's like, well, that's old. He's like, what about this I Believe I Can Fly? No. That's my song, man. I Want Her.
It was Peak's position in Canada top singles for 44. Peak position in New Zealand, recorded music in Z, 24. UK singles, 26. Now, here in the States,
yes.
US Billboard Hot 100, number 5.
Number 5?
Number 5. US Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs Billboard, number 1.
See, that's a very small category, though. There's only 8 songs to begin with, probably.
No.
Yeah. And they were all by Carl LaVert. Oh, Keith's grandma was mad at him about that. You're just making Carl look bad. What's this I Want Her shit about anyway? Don't hit me, Grandma. Well, folks, we are going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. I'd like to thank Scott for his production and writing all the jokes for that last segment. I just read them line for line.
Of course you do.
That was a lot to read. The 12-year-old joke was a little bit off color, Scott, but that's fine.
Oh, Jesus.
It was all right. So, the Hands of Time Napa Valley Red Wine, which is 85% Cabernet, from Stag's Leap Wine Cellars in California. Yay.
Yay.
Yes.
California. Yay.
Scott,
I don't know what we expected. I definitely exceeded my expectations. I don't know what they were exactly.
Yeah.
It was a little weird that we couldn't find out any information on their website. They're just not claiming this one, and I don't understand why.
Because no one will buy their other things, I suppose. I mean, you're always going to buy Faye and SLV, but would you buy...
Are you?
Well, I got 100 from the wine enthusiast.
I get it, but why wouldn't you take credit for this on their terms and entry price? I think it was $32. Well, how much was it?
Yeah, 32, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're idiots. I mean, that's just, it's asinine. Partly, I think they don't sell anything this cheap because they're jackasses. I think their stuff, they've overpriced everything. I get the SLV and the Fay, but it's just like what we were talking about with Heights. That's not a fair price for those. They're really great. The 100 is a little bit, and they're really great. But you can buy Artemis anywhere. And if you can buy it anywhere, your case production is so high, it shouldn't cost $80. It just shouldn't. It's not okay. It just shouldn't. Well, if you're selling it at Kroger, I mean, Camus has, what, 30,000 cases?
Something like
that. That's fucking stupid. It's just fucking stupid. That's not $99.
That's what they're getting.
Because of the name. Artemis doesn't have that name. And it wasn't always called Artemis, too. They came up with that stupid name. Rebranding it, I suppose. But it used to be closer to 50 or 60. And it quickly shot up to that price.
Yeah, it's, I think...
If you want to sell for 55, cool. Just
5 years ago, I think it was regularly in the 60s. Or at least, you know, the
it just costs,
grocery store sale price, whatever.
It costs too much money. They want to rebrand this, keep it away from that, not sell at the same places because people say, oh, I'll buy that. Oh, it's Stag's Leap. I'll buy that instead. They try this. They're not going back to that. They can buy three bottles of this almost. Well, yeah, they can for that.
You know, most of the time when there's something curious that you're looking at and you're going, I wonder why. The first thing that's the most obvious thing is probably the reason. And I would be surprised. But why would you make this then? Is it just another thing so that they're going to make this that in 5 years it can be $50? Is that the point of this?
They've had this a long time.
But they've made this a long fucking time. They've made this a long time. What was that? 2008 we saw, right?
Mm-hmm. And this isn't a volume wine because it's not everywhere. I think it's a smaller production probably than the Artemis.
We don't know because there's no...
But I think it is.
We can't find it.
But, I mean, is Artemis three times as good as this wine? Is it better than this wine? Debatably. But
if you put them side by side, you will see
there's
gravitas that is Artemis.
It doesn't have gravitas, but
it does.
It's better, but is it three times as good?
Yeah, well,
is it twice as good? Yeah. Time and a quarter as good? Maybe.
Time and a quarter.
Just a quarter better? Maybe. But it's not three times as good. That's one reason why you distance it from it. And I don't think they set out by trying to make a wine that isn't very good. This wine's just really good.
Yeah.
It's just really good. I think if they put the Stag's Leap name on it, just Stag's Leap Winery, and they called it their Hands of Time Red Blend, would they? And they sold it for 35.
40.
50. Yeah, I know. Would there be any left?
Probably not.
No, there wouldn't be. There wouldn't be. There wouldn't be, but I don't think that they make a ton of it. Otherwise, you would see it more often. It's normally in stock at wine.com, but... And this might be an exceptionally good vintage for it.
And maybe it is. Maybe this is top of the mark, right?
Maybe. I know I want to buy a couple of bottles, just set it back.
Shit, yeah.
It's really great. But, Scott, what's your score?
92 of my points.
92 of your points?
92 of my points. I think it's fantastic. How long can you age it? I don't know. I think I'm going to find out if it can make that five-year marker. I think what I would do, I agree. Rob's given the thumbs up that it could go maybe higher. I think I would set this back and hit it at 3 to 4 just to see where it's at. Because it's nice, folks. And it just... This is probably where we've got less experience in judging what's ageable or not. I mean, we
have a shit ton.
We do, but... Like, for example, with this one, well, it's It's going to be 3 to 5 years down the road, and we've done some things, and we've been wrong in the past.
Look, you've been wrong in the past, but you said a monastrell from buttfuck Spain. No, that doesn't know. This is from Napa. Napa, those are better roots to start off with. That's a better bet from Napa to say that. It's a better bet from Stag's Leap Wine Cellar.
Yep.
So you have,
I think
you have the provenance there. And so there's a lot more reason to trust it. And besides the fact, it is a rich, decadent wine without being annoying and jazzy. I'm giving it, oh boy. And I was trying to poo-poo it. I can't. I'm giving it... Let me take another sip. I'm trying to convince myself one way or the other of a number, and I can't. All right, I'm doing it. Because this wine's density, but richness. And there is complexity there. And it is one thing we really were remiss in saying. Classic California Cabernet as it should be. None of the negative traits of California Cabernet, only the good ones. Wouldn't you say that?
Fair tribute.
93. 93 of my points. Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Strong Hall of Fame.
And
value to point ratio, it's up there.
If you're a person that you, it's hard for you to spend $20 on a bottle of wine.
Spend 32. Somebody earlier had texted me because I
seek this out.
One of our listeners, I'd sent him a picture of this, and they said, "How is it?" And so I said, "We'll find out." And I just texted him, and I said, "Buy a case. Buy a case. A case. If you are a high-level wine drinker and buyer, a case of this. A case. It's 12 bottles. A case of it. If you're a novice, just dipping your toe in it, a case. No, not a case. 3 or 4 bottles. 3 bottles, you're under $100. Okay? That's a lot of drinking pleasure for under $100.
It really is. We didn't really play the how much would you pay for this game, but... If this was a $50 bottle of wine, you'd go, hell yeah.
No problem there. I would say
no problem at all paying $50 for this.
$75,
$80. It's just that's what you think this is.
Yeah.
You know it's Napa.
Last week we had the Heights Cellar. And by the way, it's Heights Cellar, not Cellars. Heights Cellar, Trailside Vineyards, Rutherford Cabernet. And, I mean, that's a superior wine to this, but... It's not like we haven't been drinking Napa Valley. We have. And we've drank a lot. We drank the Nyer Left Bank. This is a little... The Nyer Left Bank is delicious, mind you. But this is $13, $14 cheaper than that.
Yeah.
And this... It might be a little bit better sussed out today, but it's more of a drink now wine.
The Nyers.
Yeah. And so this right here gets a little bit more of a point bump because it has a little more of that fun factor in the fact that it's ageable.
So you can set this back and put it in your cellar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just great Napa cab by a premium maker.
Mm-hmm.
And $32. It's
$32.
I'm trying to remember... A quality for the price point that this can even compare to. We'd have to go back to some of those great French things where we just bought the shit out of it. You know, the Haute de Leon and the. But this is on the American side of things. I can't remember something that I would say tops this for the quality for what we're paying for it.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of things around $20 we really, really liked, but this is better than all those.
Well, I can't think of something where
this is better than the Edge.
Would say it's proper and you could age it and put it back and it's going to be better than what it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Ferrari Chrono Cab is kind of in this range, and this is superior to that, and that is crazy for me to say that because that's like Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. I love that. I love that wine. But this is better than that. This is better than anything that we've had from Mondavi in that range. I mean, it's not even in the same ballpark.
We haven't really done like the upper end Mondavis, but did we do the one that was in the 30s?
Yeah, we've done that one before. We've done the Napa. I've done their Oakvilles. I mean, this is superior to all that. I mean, the current Oakville, like the 19 that was in the top 100, top 10, wasn't it? I have a couple bottles of that, but that's for the future.
What was the price point there?
Artemis.
Yeah.
94, I think.
Yeah, Artemis.
But that's at least an Oakville. $32. Yeah, that's an Oakville specific cab. It's like Napa, which is Artemis is their Napa. But yeah. This wine is $32, and it's, quite frankly, great.
It really is.
Yeah. Bravo. 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 Can't say that enough. Great wine. Quite frankly, I like that this series that we're doing, like the Bordeaux-style Napa stuff, I like that so much better than the California Cab series. Would you like to point that out?
I can't imagine why you feel that way.
It's been more expensive, but it's been a lot more enjoyable.
Oh, God, we've had some bad ones. Yeah. I just keep up alive.
Well, look.
I think there's so much
we have that
shit on the market now. I don't think we're going to find one.
No.
I don't. So, listeners, if you're out there and you've got something you want to punish us with, I mean something you want us to try to continue our quest for finding that California designation, Cabernet Sauvignon, send us an email, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's...
If you think you know the one, that's great.
No, good. Just good. We're looking for one that's just good.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir?
You can get a Trefethen Halo, a Halo, on wine.com.
Halo?
How much do you think that is?
I don't know how much that is.
It's their Cabernet.
Okay.
It's $255 a bottle. Dragon's Tooth now is $65 a bottle.
Right.
But I bought the Trefethen Eshkol Red. It's from Ognol. It's a Bordeaux blend from Ognol, which is kind of cool. No review. It has an owl on the label, which is an animal, but that's okay. Very classic label.
It doesn't bother us as much as it used to.
And it's 53% Merlot, 31% Cab, Malbec 14, Petit Verdot 1, Cab Franc 1. So it is a Bordeaux blend, and it costs $24, and it will be eventually on the show as well. So we're going to go through these things.
Huh.
Hell, Jack's. Remember Jack's? They have one. That's great. No, it's not. There is Ramey Claret. We have that. Although that's a little more. I think it's not fair. We could do the Donati. We've done Donati before, and it was terrible. Remember that Cabernet?
I don't remember Donati.
Good. You blocked it out. And Decoy. Decoy and all their suckiness. They do a red wine blend.
The Decoy's not sucking.
It does suck.
No.
The 19 Decoy red blend got an 89 from Wilford.
Well,
that's not a good score, Scott.
He was trying to make his way to the cabin, and he couldn't make it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this wine shows attractive, bright aromas and flavors showing red and black fruit and a nice touch of oak. I spent all day writing that. Yeah.
Rodney Strong makes one, but that's outside of Napa, so, you know, hey, whatever. Hands of Time, though. Gorgeous wine. Stag's Leap, even though you don't want to talk about it, even though you don't want to admit that you make it, we know that you make it, and you should tell everybody.
Allegedly they make it. Well, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't.
I'm sure. This wine...
It sure seems like it's one of their products.
...is a stunner. So...
For the money.
Yeah.
It's just stunner. Spectacularly good.
For any money, it's a stunner. Well, not any money.
But, yeah, not any money, but it's...
For any money, you know? If Eddie Money would say this is a good wine.
So. Take Rob home tonight. He just wants to be the hands of time anymore.
It's really well done. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are
Eddie Money.
That's right. We are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.